Father, we just thank you right now. We praise you. We give you all honor and all glory. I thank you, Father God, for each and every person that came out tonight to sit at your table and to receive from you. I'm asking, God, that the miracles that need to occur in our bodies occurs tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you did not die on the cross in vain. And Father God, we can draw on every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes so that we can see, hear, comprehend, Father, what you're truly saying in this end time hour. And Father, we praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Right before I came here, I was going through my email and there was an email on there saying that this is what the top leaders and prophets are saying about what's going on in America. I think there was about 8 of them, and they all said that President Trump is still our president. We already know that, right? I'd like to get some fresh new revelation. We already know he's going to be back in the Oval Office, and you know, he might not be in the Oval Office, but he's doing more in his office in Florida than anybody in the Oval Office is doing, right? That's going to get me in trouble, but I really don't care. Amen. I still have the healing in my little toe, Sister Naomi. I broke my toe yesterday, as you all know. She prayed for it. I couldn't even stand to have my shoe on when I walked through the door. And have my shoe on, my old shoes, but I have my old shoes on and I have all broke out and I can walk, my toe doesn't hurt, and I just praise God. And I hope wherever else she prayed for when I asked her to, that whatever she prayed for is gone too. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about, excuse me, I have Palm Sunday PM on this. We learned this morning that Palm Sunday is an occasion for reflecting on the final week of Jesus' life. It is a time for Christians to prepare their hearts for the agony of his crucifixion and the joy of his resurrection. Now, tonight, I want us to speak a little on Passover. You know, this is a time of great joy. Jesus thought it was wonderful to go into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and just praise and go on. He thought that was a wonderful thing, even though he knew he was going to his death. So, you know, even though we're sick, why can't we still be happy type thing, you know? Even though whenever you leave the church and go home, you're going to face hell itself. Why not be happy? You know what I'm saying? But we don't do that, do we? You know, we enjoy God here and say, oh, God, I got to go into that house again. Or, you know, whatever your situation is. You know, God wants us to be happy all the time. And that's why he taught us over and over again, we need to have the joy of the Lord. And if you have the joy of the Lord deep down inside of you, you're going to be happy no matter what kind of situation God places you in. Please don't say amen, because some of you would be lying. You're in a bad situation and you can't see why you're in that bad situation. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 7. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. All right, this is talking about the Israelite children right before they do the Exodus, all right? And this is what the angel instructed them to do. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Right there were their instructions. They had to follow those instructions to a T in order for the death angel to pass over their home. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. I read that so you would understand this. God has said, he told us all this darkness and calamity was going to come upon this earth. Did he not? But he said during the dark times, he would take care of his own. So it doesn't matter what's going to happen. If you trust and believe God like the Israelite children had to, you will understand that God is going to take care of you, your finances, your food, no matter what it is, God is going to supply. You're going to have to believe this. You're going to have to walk this out in faith, and you're going to have to lead other people down this same path of faith where they know that they know that they know that God is in control of their lives, and God is going to supply them with everything they have need of. Some of you don't understand that yet, but I want you to get it tonight. I want you to understand that God knows you. And God knows all about you. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And whatever God has spoken to you, He is going to bring to pass. Are you understanding this? Yeah, Brother Skip, God told you He's going to heal you. He's told me He's going to heal me. Now, no matter what's going on in our lives, we hang on to that word from the Lord that He is going to heal us. And no matter what our body says, God is a great healer. He's not a man that he should lie. And he spoke a word. The word is truth. It's yes and amen. And it's going to happen that way. Well, you know your body's going to make you believe that that's not true, you know. Right? Your body's going to sit and poke fun at you. Well, you don't listen to your body. It's stupid anyhow. All right? 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Today, the blood of our Passover lamb serves a deeper purpose than the first one did. Jesus' blood not only covers the doorposts and lintels of our dwelling place, which is our bodies, but He restores us to Himself. He restores us to Himself. This importance cannot be overlooked. To prosper in all that God sends us to do each year, we need to be protected. Protected in our call, in our bodies, and in our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We need to be under that protective covering of God at all times. I don't know about you, but if I think I've sort of slid out just a little tiny bit, I hurry up and get back under that covering again, because this is an evil time that we live in, and only those that are covered by the blood of Jesus are going to survive it. This is not a negative thing that's going on in America spiritually. It's a really positive thing, and God is using this to bring the church closer to Him. And God has been speaking to the church for quite some time now to get it together so that He can use us in this dispensation of time. All right, I don't care where you've moved to, where you live. God wants to use you where you're at. And He wants to use you as a light in a dark, dark place. And, you know, you might go into churches that are dark. They think they're just full of light, but they're dark. God will reveal that to you. And you don't have to go in there, shout, and repent. You just go in there, sit and be a light, right? Just be a light. And as you're sitting there, I've done this many times through the years. I just go in and sit down in the church and God shows you what's going on. I just pray the angels in there and I just pray that God will change people's hearts. And, you know, just whatever God lays upon my heart to pray. I don't say a word to the people because you're just going to offend them. God sent me to that place so I could pray and so He could intercede and He could get in there and change those people. When God starts sending you out, you'll be surprised how many churches you go into where the leaders aren't right. Now, unless God speaks through you, you better keep your mouth quiet and, you know, and just intercede for that church so that God can change that church. I was in a church one time and, you know, I was dumb then, just first born again and walking in the spirit, you know, and boy, I was just gung-ho about everything. And God said to me the night before in prayer, there's sin in the pulpit in the church. Well, I knew one of the deacons was in sin. He was always sitting up front. And so I went to the pastor's wife and I said, God told me last night there's sin in the pulpit. Well, she tried really hard to get me out of the church and finally did kick me out after her husband died, but she was the one that was in sin. An old dumb me, you know. thinking everybody's holy in church. I went and told her that, so she got scared of me and wanted to shut me up. So the way to do that was to chase me out of the church. Or you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you can be like a little child and be so stupid and hear something from God, and he can use you to speak it forth, you know? All right, where am I at? I don't know where I'm at. Okay. Always remember that the power of the blood never diminishes or runs out and stays as powerful as ever. And I said that because God always tells me, always remember the blood. The power is in the blood. And so as you go through your life, continually plead the blood of Jesus over your life. And as I was studying about Passover, I got to thinking, you know, and you think about this too for your own houses. It used to be that I'd go through my house quite often and plead the blood of Jesus over all the doorways, and then, you know, in and out places. And then I would plead the blood of Jesus over all the windows. And God said, you haven't done that in a season. So what I'm going to do is, when it quits raining, I'm going to go outside and anoint all my doors. Then I'm going to go inside and anoint all my windows, because I can't reach them from the outside. And I really believe that we all need to do that in this season. This is a new era we're in. If you haven't done that recently, you should anoint your doorways and your windows so that the enemy cannot come in and abide there. Passover and the blood of our Passover lamb are uniquely important because, number one, God created Passover. Man did not. Number two, God ordained Passover as an everlasting ordinance. Number three, God provides special blessings and covenants at Passover. And this is what God's been saying. He wants to bless us during this Passover season. And I think one of the words for the day was about that. And he said, but you're going to have to believe to receive. So number four, sitting at the Passover table allows us to slip our feet under our Father's table. Number five, God created Passover as an appointed time. One where we can meet with him, be refreshed by him, and prepared for the days ahead as we receive blessings and covenants, especially reserved for those who sit at the table, his Passover table. God is inviting us to sit at his table. How many times has God said to us, come and dine, sit at the table and dine with me? And God is saying that more so right now than ever, because this is a very important event right now that's happening in history, this Passover. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, this Passover. And if you will step into the importance of what this Passover is really doing, you will step into the glory realm and never leave it ever again. All right. This Passover is a special Passover, much importance attached to it. And I'm hearing God says, each one of you sit at his feet and seek his face. He's going to give you revelation knowledge of what the importance of this Passover is for you individually. This is an individual Passover, according to God. God is inviting us to sit at his table. The choice belongs to each of us. Will we walk by our Father's table and not partake of what he offers, or will we take our place at his table? God is given revelation after revelation right now. Those who are truly sitting at his table, abiding with him, eating the fruit from his table, are going to walk in the supernatural. Always. It was just won't be every now and then, but you'll always be walking in the supernatural. In other words, God will use you at any given second to perform any miracle that he needs to perform. A place specifically set aside for us so that we might be blessed and readied, prepared for the season with covenant access to his blessings and promises. God has made a covenant with us with this Passover. There's something, I'm hearing God say, there's something new on the horizon, something the church has never encountered before. And as you determine in your heart that you're going to receive all that God has for you, he's going to start revealing to you what's going on in his heavenly kingdom. Now, Passover, you know, this Passover right now began at sundown, March the 27th, which was Saturday, and runs through April the 4th, which is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is a Passover lamb who was slain for many. Jesus, as the Passover lamb, accomplished a major feat on your behalf, and he did it all out of his love for you and me. The reason Jesus became the Passover lamb was to see sin eradicated in each of our lives. He just didn't do it so everybody would talk about it forever. He did it so sin would be taken out of each one of our lives. His desire was to see everyone walking free of the enemy and his cohorts. Number four, Jesus became the Passover lamb so we could walk free of the sins that come upon this land. You know, we still have not reached heaven. There's more sin going to come across the land. And if we aren't walking close to the lamb, the shepherd, we might just enter into some of those sins and lose our salvations. All right? I'm hearing God say, this is desperate times, and we need desperate measures, and that desperate measure is the Passover lamb. We need Jesus and his blood more than ever in this given dispensation. This Passover season is filled with fresh graces, deliverances, and new doors opening up before God's true people. There is plenty of both danger and opportunity ahead, and just as it was in that first Passover, God will deliver his people in the most dramatic and incredible ways. Aren't you waiting for that, Brother Skip? Aren't you waiting for that, Brother Allen, to be delivered in a dramatic way? Sister Naomi had a beautiful dream and about being healed. And at the end, a lot of praise was going on. I just encourage each one of us in here tonight, or anybody that's listening, don't be discouraged, but be encouraged, because God is in full and total complete control. And he knows exactly the right moment and the right time that he's going to do all things. Amen. Come on. Exodus 12, verse 1 says, a Passover lamb had to be sacrificed for the Exodus. A perfect, blameless lamb was slain by each and every Hebrew household the night before the great escape. Its blood had to be applied by faith as the families were packing up to leave in haste when morning dawned. It had to be done. There are things in your life right now that have to be done, have to be accomplished during this Passover season. I'm just hearing God said many marriages are going to be healed, but many other marriages are going to be torn apart because you aren't honoring the Passover lamb. We need to start making we need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit first. Then we have to make true covenants with God, how we're going to walk in the precepts that he's called us to walk in, and then walk in it. You know, and not be swayed by everything that comes down the pike. And God's saying, just as he's honored you, he wants you to honor those around about you. And just as he's given you grace, he wants you to show grace to those around about you. Okay, then, however, even though physically delivered, we're talking about the Israelite children, Israel was not a free nation yet. Battles had to be fought. The sea had to split open. Pharaoh had to be utterly destroyed. The manna had to fall. The law had to be given. And the young nation had to learn to lean on God in all things. There's always battles to be fought from A to Z. You know, we have to do the in-between work. The incredible transition from slave to free, from defeat to victory, and from vagabond to blessed took time. Okay, so I said that, but I'm going to tell you right now, your time's up. You've been through all that. Your time is up. You can't use it. Well, I need more time. No, your time is up. So, it took an entire generation before Israel could face the giants and take their land. Okay, guys, now, your time is up. And God has said he's through with the church, and he's bringing in the street people to use them. So here, it took an entire generation before Israel could face the giants and take their land. Is it going to take the street people to face the giants and take the land and get America back and the churches back to where they should be? Or are you handful? Are you going to go ahead and submit yourself totally to God and allow Him to use you also, along with the street people? Are you listening? You know, when the street people come in, no, I'm not even going to say that, because I'm hearing God say the street people are going to come in cleaned up, saved and born again, running through the door shouting victory. All right? Because somebody out there told them about Jesus, and they're going to run into the house of God totally cleansed, set free, ready to rip the devil's head off. All right? Now, anything I teach you, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. Just say, hallelujah, thank you, God, I'm not there. All right? I keep losing my place. All right, the same is with us. Passover's promise of a new beginning is contingent on our transformation. And we all know this requires both death to the flesh and new life in the spirit, brand new wineskins. What has God been trying to do with us? Get rid of the old, right? Get a brand new wineskin so we can pour new wine into it. Now, if you don't have a new wineskin by now, forget it. Just forget it. Because you done lost out. God has worked really hard at you guys to get you to get brand new wineskins. Through the Passover season, new beginnings are being offered to God's people. Come on. Some will find it in freedom from addictions, others in restored relationships, others in business, and go on and on and on. But God is offering you new freedom during this Passover season. We should come through this Passover season about the happiest people that ever walked on the face of the earth because of the freedom that we are going to receive during this Holy Week. All right? And the Holy Week also, you know, you should be fasting and praying during this Holy Week also. New beginnings require death to self. Just as the Israelites had to experience daily death in their camp as they were being transformed from a slave nation to a free people. And, you know, we're being done that too, being transferred from slave to free. And it's been a daily process. And some of you can say, all of us can say, that about the time we think we're totally set free, here comes old whatever he is, and he tries to make us believe we're back into the old slave mentality. Can you turn that off, Iron? And you give into it. I thought this thing was going. It is going, dummy. The enemy's just coming, just making you believe it's not going. You are free. The Word of God tells me, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, are you free or not? And you know, Skip, I'm going to preach a Skip tonight. I was coming down the road, and you know, people say, well, you aren't healed because you don't believe, but that's not true. Whenever I came on the scene, I was totally anointed, and you know, for healings and raise the dead and everything. And everybody say, anybody can do that. That's not true. That's not true. You have to be anointed to do that. You know, I know the Bible does say, and the Bible is true, any believer can lay hands on the sick. Yeah. But any believer, we studied, I taught you about that. It's any believer who's truly following God 100%. And as I was coming down here tonight, I said, God, please, let the Lighthouse Church, even though we're small, let us be one of those that you place the anointing in. And no matter where we go, miracles will happen. Miracles will happen. Because I know that you have really consecrated yourself to God. And I know you're really doing everything that you possibly can to serve God with all of your heart. And I know when sickness hits our body, sometimes we think, God, just take me on home. But you know, God doesn't want to do that because you have a works to do. And you know, we're like Paul, you know, we have the thorn in the flesh. And God said, you just keep doing my work. And Paul kept doing his work, and all of a sudden one day that guy was gone. No more thorn in the flesh. And I know that's how God's going to do it. But I'm telling you right now, just not anybody can do miracles. They just can't. You have to be following God with all of your heart. And I don't really like to say that, and I think that might be the first time I've ever said it publicly, because people have you saying things to you that aren't really true. They make you believe anybody off the street just come in and just start laying hands on the sick. But what spirit are you working in? You know, what spirit are you working in? You're working in the Antichrist spirit because you're not totally sold out to God. All right. This morning in here, you know, there's people in here didn't want to be here. They were uncomfortable. And there's a little old Aaron here, you know. I told him to go ahead and do the prophetic word, and he told them they weren't even saved or nothing. No, God. They already don't want to be here. And then he did this to two or three people. I said, God, should I really make him quit? But, you know, the truth is the truth. And, you know, a prophet just yields himself to God and just lets God speak through them. And whatever he speaks, you know. I'm quite sure the people that he talked to definitely won't come back again. All right. We also need to embrace the apostolic cry in Romans 6. You know, I had a phone call the other day from a minister who was, you know, we ordained him. And they were talking to me. They were really torn down. And another minister told them, you are not a minister. You shouldn't be ministering nothing. But I thought, why, God, would another pastor go and tell us and just blatantly blurt that out like that? Because I know this person is mightily anointed of God, and I know God is going to use them mightily in the evangelistic field. But they were so torn down, they thought that they should just sit and do nothing. You know, that's a shame. But in the end of it all, I said goodbye two or three times, but they said, I want to tell you something. And they said, I'm trying not to cry, but I can't help it. And they was crying. They said, when I first met you, I felt like I was nobody. I felt like I just had no purpose in life. But they said, you taught me all about Jesus, the true Jesus, and encouraged me and lifted me up. And you prophesied into my life what God's going to do for me. And now I know I am somebody. And I thank you for being there and encouraging the people to keep going. And, you know, when I got phone, I cried. Because you know how many times I think, God, am I doing any good in your kingdom? Yeah, and I know you all think this too. That's why I'm giving this story. But, you know, God will send somebody your way at just the right moment to give you their testimony and to lift you up so you can keep on going. So what I'm saying and saying all that is, you are doing something for the kingdom of God, even though whether you see it or not. There's many people out there that you've witnessed to, maybe, you know, people that you witnessed to one person and that person told somebody else about something, you know, and it changed their lives. We might not ever see how many lives we changed here on this earth. But one day when we sit in heavenly places, we will see all the different lives that we've changed. All right. So I really want, during this Passover season, I want you to be encouraged in God. Even though you don't see it, God is still doing a work through you. He's using you, all right? All right, I said we also need to embrace the apostolic cry in Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? That you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Romans 6:11-16. We only read 11-13, but this is how we are supposed to live, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. All of us who have been born again into the living hope of God's anointed have been journeying between Egypt and the promised land, have we not? Paul tells us in Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. See that? For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If you do that, then one day you'll sit with Christ in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We are supposed to pick up our cross daily and carry it and not complain. We are supposed to love our brothers and sisters and not put them downward or down, but pull them up and encourage them to go forth. Tonight, you know, I remember my family said to me, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I just don't feel really good tonight." And they said, "But you have to go to church because after all, you are the pastor." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to church. I'm all ready to go." But I said, "You asked me how it was, and I told you." Then he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've been trying to get the neighbors over there to come to go to church." He didn't come to the church either, but he said, "I'm trying to get them to go to the church." And he said, "You know, you're getting me interested. I think I might just go and try and see what's going on there." But see, you know, no matter what you do, guys, if you're really living for Christ, you are an example. And even if the people in your house aren't going to church, they're watching the church in you. And you're teaching them through how you live. All right? So wherever you go, I don't care if it's your workplace, wherever you go, be an example of Christ. Okay, I asked Brother Aaron, I said that when I talked to him the other day, and I said, he just got off work. I said, "Did you treat the mail properly?" I've been getting mailboxes lately. They're all mashed to pieces. The stuff inside's mashed. And he said, "Well, some of the boxes are awful heavy." I was just joking. But, you know, still, no, he is a light to a dark, dark world out there. And if he does talk to anybody, the people that deliver our stuff, they talk to us all the time. But if you do talk to anybody, make sure your light's shining and you're an example and you're not doing something ungodly or saying something ungodly, and let them know that Christ does live in you. Okay? Remember what 1 Corinthians 5:7-8 says. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may, why? That you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Savior was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Are we learning that we need to love each other more in the house of God? That we need to be there to undergird and to listen? Just sometimes all a person wants is a sounding board. They don't need your advice. They just think they have to, and I'm like that too. You just have to have somebody to talk to. And once it's out of your lips and hits somebody else, then you're comfortable, right? And that's okay. Jesus had to have somebody to talk to, didn't he? And he went to the mountain, and who did he talk to? To God, his Father. The only one he knew who his Father was. So that's okay with God if you need a sounding board. Just don't say the same things over and over and over again. Because your sounding board's not going to answer the phone. Okay, now here's what God had to say for tonight. Children, I have called you out of bondage into my marvelous light. I have asked you repeatedly to come up hither and sit at my feet. This is a new era. This is the time of the great exodus of my children out of slavery into my marvelous light of redemption. This is God speaking to us, and this is where he's taking us. God said, I have placed your feet in the promised land, and it does flow with milk and honey. I don't care what your eyes are seeing. You have been wandering in the wilderness for a decade now, and because of the crossing over, the wandering has ceased. Now, you know, we crossed over Jordan a while back. So God says the wandering has ceased. Receive all that I have from my body at this given time. receive salvations, blessings after blessings, healings, whatever you have need of. This is a perfect timing in my kingdom for all of heaven to be dropped upon those who will believe and receive. See what he says there? You have to believe and receive. I have chosen this year, 2021, to fulfill all my promises to my faithful ones. It will be like a torrential rainfall, and it will overtake you. Are you ready? Are you ready for that torrential rainfall? Are you ready to receive all that God has for you? And not just now and yes, but now, from now until the day Jesus Christ takes us on home. All right, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Then you can read what all the blessings are. All right? Now, the questions remaining are these. Number one, will we sit at our Father's table? Number two, will we accept the place he has set before us and receive all of the blessings and covenant promise that comes at this season? Number three, will we take the time to fellowship with our God, placing our feet under his table so we might commune with him? Alan, I think that Aaron needs your help. We're going to take communion now, but we're going to pass communion out tonight. That's why it wasn't at the table. Now, will we take the time to fellowship with our God, placing our feet under his table so we might commune with him? I want to explain something to you right now because God just told me to do this. You know, communing with God is not a labor. It's an act of love. It's not even something that you have to make your day stand still to do. You can commune with your Father. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing. You can talk to him and your feet can be under his table because you have committed yourself to him. You know, when I worked, I communed with God all the time, even though I had a job. I did my job, but still I talked with the Father, right, Grace? That's how you do, right? So we don't have to be isolated in a room, you know, all by ourselves to commune with the Father. I don't know about you, but I don't have that privilege, never have had that privilege because I've had too many people around me. But God and I always commune. Now, do you and God always commune? You know, don't you know, with Sister Nancy there, she works at the pharmacy, and I don't want her to commune with God while she's doing somebody's, putting her medicine together. She might give him a dose of the Holy Ghost in them pills, you know. I just looked at her and just thought I'd say that. All right, are you ready? Really ready to take true communion with God now? We're going to read the scriptures. Please don't do anything until we read the scriptures. Go ahead, you can start passing it out. Are you really ready to take true communion with God tonight? And as you're doing communion, say, God, for the final and last time, I commit every part of my being into your bosom, and I'm never going to walk away from your bosom ever again. If you will do that as we're taking communion, don't take it till I read the scriptures. Your life is going to change, and you're never going to be the same again. You need a healing in your body. You can get that while you're taking communion tonight. God knows the exact time that he's going to give you your healing. He knows the exact time for it. And between the time that he says you're healed and the time you have the manifestation, you're being tested to the very core of your being. Are you really going to trust God, or are you going to trust man? Whatever, I don't care if it's finances, I don't care what it is, a relationship, you're being tested. I really not would rather not play. I'm only not taking it because I'm allergic to food right now, and I hate to admit that, but you don't want to see me start sneezing and carrying on up here. Tonight is a very special, and I look around, and you know the only people here that are really the people that belong to the church or actual members of the church. Tonight, God is doing a supernatural thing with this communion. He's bringing us closer to the cross. He's uniting us with his Father. it will never be, we will never be separated ever again. All right, let's read the scriptures. Well, I'll wait to those two. Do they get theirs too? You know, quit questioning God. If God has told you something, he's going to bring it to pass. And God's saying, quit blundering through life. Walk with a sure foot, knowing what the Father's asking you to do, not what somebody's telling you to do. You guys are so teachable. It's just wonderful. But there's so many people come in here and they have so many religious spirits and they're not teachable. And God can't work with those people. And you know, if you read the Bible, God used the strange things to work through. I'll say peculiar thing, because we're a lot of peculiar people in here. And he is, you know, we don't have our names out in lights or anything else. We just love the Father. And we're just doing what the Father's asking us to do. So God wants to cement you tonight into his bosom, where the enemy will never be able to take you away again. And let's read the scriptures. In Matthew 26, verse 26, and as they were eating, this was Jesus and the 12, right? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. You can eat your bread right now. Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So as you drink that, thank you, Father, as you drink that new wine this evening, God is doing something brand new within you. And he's bringing you out of that dull place that you were in. And he's setting you in a new place in his heavenly kingdom. He is restoring unto you all that the palmer and kingworm has stolen. And some of your lives will never be the same. You're going to find out that the anointing is going to settle upon you so strong that there's some days you won't be able to function. And I'm also hearing God say he's going to give you new strength, new wisdom, new power and authority through this communion tonight. And there's some of you, you know, that aren't sitting in here, but you're listening over the video. And God would say unto you out there, take my communion very seriously tonight. Do not play around with the things of the world. Do not walk in compromise. But be steadfast in me and know that I am the Lord thy God, and I fail you not. From this day forth, all things are brand new. And I am leading my true people into a path of total victory, where even though the enemy rages, the enemy never wins. The battle's already been fought on the cross, and the victory was already won. And you who are taking communion with me this night, you will understand that more than you've ever understood it in your entire being. Take up your cross this night as you leave this place. Follow me with all of your heart and just watch and see what I am going to do in this new dispensation of time. And God is saying right now, some of you sitting in here or even listening, you can feel it. God is changing you and God is rearranging some things in your life. And you know that the old is gone. And you'll never walk in that way ever again. And some of you felt weak and you felt like disabled, sort of. You felt like you just could not do what God's asking you to do. And right now, God's giving you new strength, divine strength and divine wisdom to be able to go forth and do the things he's called you forth to do. Some of you men in here, you've been struggling and struggling and struggling, and God said the struggle is gone. You'll find there's freedom in every area in your camp. And, you know, where the enemy has put up a smoke screen and anyone let you see into the heavenly realm, God is blowing that smoke screen away right now. And you're going to be able to see into the heavenly realm. In fact, you will also be transported into the heavenly realm at different dispensations of time. And God said, this new day that's dawning is different than any day you've ever walked in. It's a brand new day. A day created just for you. Enjoy the day. And enjoy the rest of your journey in that day. I am the God of the impossibles, and I am performing the impossible in your life right now. I am tearing down those walls that loom before you that you thought you could never get over. Well, you don't have to get over. You can walk straight ahead because I've torn the walls down. There's even walls of ingratitude in my house, and I'm tearing those walls down also. And God's saying, don't mess with his anointing. Don't mess with his chosen people. Stay your course and don't worry about somebody else's course. Stay in the path he's placed your feet upon. And God said right now he is separating the wheat from the chaff. And soon people will see who was the wheat and who was the chaff all across the land. And just like the Israelite children, it was the new generation that went into the promised land and received all that God had for them. And this is the same thing nowadays. God had to leave the church and bring in a new generation of young people who would follow him and do his bidding. We're not going to do any prophesying tonight. This is a sacred time with God, and he wants us just to sit with him and commune with him and receive all that he has for you. He's spoken into your lives over and over again. He just wants you to receive from him tonight. And he also wants you to, what he's already spoken into your life, start doing what he's asked you to do. Start believing what he's telling you you're going to do. And then just walk into the newness of life that he has before you. And God, I'm also hearing God say that the frankincense and myrrh have been sent your way, and you're going to start smelling new fragrances around about you. And when you smell the new fragrances, it is an angelic host that God has sent your way to give you revelation knowledge. And do not be so quick to get away from the aroma, but stand still and ask the angel what it is that God would like to say to you. And God's saying, just as he used the angels in the Old Testament, he's going to start using angels in this dispensation of time to come to his people, to physically be able to see them and listen to what they have to say to you and the instructions from the Father. And he said, this is total divine revelation time. Total divine revelation time where you will be, heaven will be revealed to you in such a tangible way that there's no way you can ever doubt that it was God speaking to you. And God wants you to close your mind off, make your mind just shut up. And he just wants you to get the mind of Christ and hear the voice of Christ and follow that voice and that voice only. Because he said your mind has been leading you astray for too long now. God's voice will never lead you astray. Father, I just thank you for all that you've done here tonight. I thank you for these precious souls that came out to sit at your table, Father, and to dine with you. And Father God, I know and I believe. Great signs, wonders, and miracles will follow them all the days of their lives. For I know, Father God, that you only choose those that you can trust. And Father God, these ones in here tonight, you chose them. You put them through the furnace of affliction over and over and over again. And they've proven to you and the enemy that they belong to you and that you can trust them. And now, Father, Let their testimony start pouring in of the wonders of a faithful Father and His loyal Son and of His Holy Spirit. And Father God, we give You honor, we give You praise, and we give You glory as we leave this place tonight. Thank You for coming and dining with us. Thank You, Father God, for Your Holy Spirit is so evident in here right now. Thank You for the angels that You sent to go with us and to fight our battles for us. We thank You, Father. And God said, you will no longer be blindsided by the things of this world, for I will reveal to you beforehand what is going to come on this scene, and you will be able to lift up those who have no hope, who don't know me. And you will encourage them in my love, and you will see them come forth and receive me as their Lord and Maker, as you have done. For I have given you a multitude of souls to win for me. And this soul winning begins tonight. So when the people are drawn to you, always remember they are drawn to the Spirit of God inside of you. And your job is to lead them in the path of truth and righteousness and holiness. You're dismissed, but as you go tonight, take the Holy Spirit with you. Take the anointing that God just dropped and just bask in it all night long. Don't allow the loud things of the world interfere and take what God is doing in your life away from you. You're richly blessed. You're richly blessed. And God is saying, so shed that blessing abroad wherever you go.